And welcome into today's audiocast from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news service, for this Monday, June 2nd, 2008. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Well, after losing his right leg below the knee in Iraq 5 years ago, Staff Sergeant Ryan Kelly got home, got recuperated, and got busy setting some new goals. And Ryan is clicking off those goals, and we thought you'd like to meet him. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing great today.
All right, good deal. So you're speaking to me from down in South Texas, right?
Yeah, just south of Austin, Texas, right in the suburb.
The Texas Hill Country.
Yes, sir. It's a great place to call home.
Now, I heard you were an Army brat, so what kind of exciting places have you lived?
Different places in Germany. I've, you know, been all over the states, from Pennsylvania to Oklahoma to Virginia to Florida. I mean, about every 2 years I've moved, even since I, almost my entire life.
Now, you did not fly in the service, did you?
No, sir, I did not fly in the service. I was a civil affairs peacekeeper, basically like a hearts and minds, nation-building type soldier.
So, obviously, you saw some action over there. Now, did you go in right after high school?
I did. I enlisted in the Army Reserve in 1998, when I was still a senior in high school.
Had you done some flying before your injury?
Not really, no. I mean, I'd been up in a Cessna like two or three times, but not seriously to do like flight instruction. I'd go up with somebody I knew, and they might let me, you know, hold straight and level, or, you know, make a turn or two. But prior to me being injured, I hadn't logged any time or received any dual instruction.
When you showed up for flight training, how did the folks react to you?
I was real lucky at the school I went to up in Arizona, because the gentleman who owned the school, his dad's a world-renowned prosthetist, which is the practitioners who make artificial legs. You know, he was basically like, oh, I don't care. You know, it's no big deal to me as long as you're safe in the aircraft. So I went up with him once or twice just to make sure my foot wasn't getting hung up or I need to do any adaptions. And once it was pretty well determined that, you know, my feet weren't an issue whatsoever as far as safety of flight, it really never became a question. You know, when it came to hiring me, it wasn't a question that I was even, you know, I never got any inclination that they thought twice about it.
Do you mind telling us, Ryan, about the events leading up to your injury?
I actually lost my leg to a roadside bomb, they call them IEDs, back in July of 2003 when they first started using them in Iraq. It was early on in the conflict. The first summer, actually, that the American military was in Iraq. And basically, they set off three artillery shells on the side of the road that were hidden under a bunch of hay. And shrapnel from one of the artillery shells clean took my right leg off. Basically, clean took it off. It was still there, but not much of it.
Tell us about your job. What's a typical mission that you might have gone on over there?
My whole job in Iraq was being the interface between the civilian population and the city of Ramadi with the military. We didn't know a whole lot about Iraq when we got there as far as how the city worked and what the infrastructure looked like. So I spent the first month and a half just basically getting to know the city, learning how the water system worked, where the electric problems were, identifying what buildings were schools, and basically just mapping out and trying to get a handle on what the city looked like from the standpoint of, you could say, like a mayor. Basically, we were, you know, an ad hoc military mayor, just trying to learn about the city so we could start directing resources to fix things.
So after your recovery, you decided to pursue flying. You achieved your helicopter ratings through CFI. And what fixed wing ratings do you have?
Right now, I've got my sport pilot, and my income permitting, I'm going to try and start adding on some of my other airplane ratings. And I'd like to work up to get my commercial multi-engine, you know, see about stepping into the realm of commercial, you know, fixed wing and helicopter flying.
Do you want to be a fixed wing instructor, or you want to go into corporate aviation?
I enjoy flight instruction. I mean, it's the challenges that provides. You know, I've got 1,000 hours of helicopter time, and that was all either getting instruction or giving it. And but you know, I'd like to build up some airplane time, and then, you know, it'd be great to find a flying gig where I could do both.
All right, so let's go back a little bit. You come home from Iraq. I assume you ended up at one of the military hospitals?
Yes, sir. I got hurt in July 03. It took me about 6 days through the medical evacuation system, and I made it back to Walter Reed for about a little over a year. That wasn't all in the hospital. I spent about a month and a half in the hospital, I think. About a month, I'm sorry, in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest of the time was in outpatient rehab.
And you were fitted with a prosthetic leg, I assume?
My injury is below the knee. Mm-hmm. So the only major joint that I lost was my ankle. So I have a prosthetic that I wear. It's a below the knee artificial leg. And, you know, the nice thing, you know, fortunate thing for me with that is it really doesn't slow me down all that much. I mean, I thought it would. I thought my dreams of flying were pretty much dashed, you know, when I got hurt. But I met a lot of other injured and pilots, a lot of them with similar or even worse injuries than me. And it's really amazing. I can toe brake, but, you know, just like anybody. I mean, I have to do it a little different, but I can toe brake an airplane. I can, you know, fly an R-22 helicopter at high density altitude and have no problems maintaining a tail rotor authority. So, you know, I'm pretty lucky. It's a bad injury, but I could definitely be a lot worse.
I had heard you quoted as saying, "For me, aviation is the great equalizer." Tell us about that.
No, definitely. I mean, it's to me, aviation is the great equalizer. It's, you know, I can't run as fast as, you know, some people with two legs, and, you know, I can't jump as high, but, and I get into that helicopter and, you know, I can fly it, you know, just as well as somebody with two legs. I can fly an airplane just as well as somebody with two legs. And it's, you know, to me, that's, it's great. Once you get in the cockpit, it's, you know, the leg's a non-factor at that point. You know, I may have to twist a little bit to get in the cockpit, you know, on some airplanes, but once I'm in it, you know, it's not an issue. In fact, I, as a flight instructor in helicopters, it was always fun at work that I'd fly a few times with my students before one of the other instructors would make a joke about me having a fake leg because they wouldn't know. So, you know, we'd usually come up with some funny way of having me pop my leg off in a classroom setting or, you know, once they'd been up with me a few times just to see their reaction. It's definitely the great equalizer to where it doesn't really impact my flying.
That's just wonderful, Ryan. Where'd you do your flight training?
Actually, when I got out, I went to school at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. They didn't have a helicopter program that they did internally, and it was contracted for the most part through Guidance Helicopters, also in Prescott, Arizona. So I went to did my academics at Embry-Riddle, and I did the flying at Guidance Helicopters up in Prescott, Arizona, which is also where I ended up working for a little over a year, close to a year and a half as a flight instructor.
So did you hook up with the Able Flight folks, or did you do all this on your own?
I actually made the connection with Able Flight just recently, about in the last 9 months or so. I started working and talking with Able Flight, you know, because I have a passion for flying, obviously, and trying to identify veterans to participate in the program. And through our conversations, it came to light that I hadn't really done any airplane flying. I hadn't logged any airplane time before I got hurt, or yeah, after I got hurt. And Able Flight was gracious enough to give me the opportunity to see about flying airplanes. And because I didn't really know until I got into an airplane whether I could fly with tow brakes. And, you know, they afforded me that opportunity to provided me a scholarship to go get my sport pilot rating. And, you know, was able to do that. And surprisingly, it's a lot of the helicopter stuff carried right over. And it basically took me about 7 or 8 hours to get my sport add-on. It came really quick, and but it was great. Flying airplanes, there's a lot of things I really enjoy about flying an airplane.
So when you go for a check ride, are you supposed to reveal that to the examiner, or how does that work?
Obviously, medical was in question at first, so I had to go do a SOTA, basically, a Statement of Demonstrated Ability, where I had to go up with a FAA representative, and they basically ran me through the ringer trying to see if they could get me to do something unsafe because of my leg. And on the helicopter world, we did stuck pedal, a lot of hovering autos, and a few other maneuvers that really, you know, stress the importance of accuracy on the pedals. If anybody's flown an R-22 knows how touchy the pedals are. And but yeah, so I ran through that, passed that without any problem, and I got a letter basically from the FAA saying that, you know, I demonstrated an ability to fly in the helicopter without any hindrance due to my prosthetic. So I think technically by the letter of the law, I wouldn't need to specify that with any employment check ride and with any follow-on check rides I did for like my private commercial. No, it's a non-issue. It's basically right. I've been, you know, the FAA's deemed it's not an issue. I mean, I have to keep that paperwork and show it if I'm asked, but
sure.
It's a non-issue, which is pretty incredible that they've thought this through enough to allow people with disabilities to prove themselves. And once we prove ourselves, unless something changes medically, they don't mess with us. I actually have a first-class medical.
Excellent. Well, you're out there helping folks with two legs learn to fly, and I would imagine that at some point, if you get the opportunity, you would find it especially satisfying to help a disabled person or maybe even a disabled vet achieve their dreams to fly.
Definitely. One of my biggest objectives and getting involved with table flight. And one of the reasons they considered me for a scholarship was I have a strong desire to continue my training in the airplanes to get my CFI, because I really would like to start a, you know, program or get involved with teaching disabled individuals, and specifically disabled vets, you know, how to fly and expose them to the joys of general aviation, because it's the platforms nowadays, as far as the aircraft are concerned, and the way that they can adapt them. You know, I don't need adaptions, which I'm lucky, but a lot of my brothers in arms do need adaptions if they're going to pursue flying. And
sure,
with the light sport rules and the light sport aircraft, there's a lot of opportunities in adapting them and making them safe and accessible for people with injuries. And, you know, that to me would be really fulfilling, as if I can, you know, get my other ratings and then start teaching, you know, the disabled population and exposing them to aviation.
Well, that's great, Ryan. You sound like a fantastic young man. You've got a bright future ahead of you. We're going to be watching your career. And I also want to thank you for your service to our country.
Well, thanks, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Comments on today's audiocast, welcome audio news at avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. You can learn more at www.aviationsafetymagazine.com. And as always, for breaking general aviation news, log on to avweb.com. Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.